Our community connection this morning brought to you by First Baptist Church, and an opportunity to speak with a gentleman who will be in Bartlesville on Monday for the Green Country Republican Women's Meeting at the Bartlesville Public Library. And I get the opportunity to speak by telephone hookup this morning with Lauren Slovak, and Lauren will be at the library to speak to the Green Country Republican Women. And Lauren, I understand your nickname is something about being a warrior. What's going on? Good morning, sir.
Okay, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Good morning. I'm the free market warrior.
Okay.
And I speak to conservatives about economics and the logic of economic policies.
Okay, and that I think, you know, because of what the economic environment is, particularly in Oklahoma, I think in some ways we're pretty familiar with conservative thought on conservative economics. But it's always nice to get somebody to present the logic of the situation for us. Sounds great.
Well, that's what I try to do. So that's what I'm going to be speaking about on Monday.
Oh.
Is how government spending does not expand the economy, it actually contracts it.
Well, Senator Lankford was in town yesterday and talking about the fact that, first of all, the government doesn't necessarily need more revenue that we have had for the last 3 years, the three highest numbers of you know, government revenue from taxes. And his comment yesterday said something to the effect of that we don't necessarily need more money. We need to reform the tax programs. And I want to take about 40 seconds of our time to play this one comment from Senator Lankford, because I think it will set the scene for what I believe you're going to talk about.
I believe the first set of parameters should be that it should be revenue neutral. Let's do major tax reform, let's simplify it, but we don't need more revenue. We need to simplify the current code in that sense. The reason I say we don't necessarily need more revenue is because last year was the highest amount of tax revenue ever received in the federal treasury ever. The second highest year ever was the year before. The third highest year ever was the year before that. Even with our down economy that we're experiencing right now, we're receiving record amounts of income into the federal treasury. We're just overspending it.
And so I think he's kind of, I'm paraphrasing because he didn't use these words, but kind of paraphrasing Ronald Reagan, the government doesn't have an income problem, it has a spending problem.
Well, sure, I would certainly agree with that. I think we should be reducing the amount of revenue that goes into the government. But I would even take it a step further. I think that Republicans often, you know, focus on the tax side of it. I think what's more damaging than the tax policies, although they're damaging, is what the government does with the money. That is to say, I think if the government took the same amount of tax revenue and, you know, dumped it in the you know, the river, it would actually be better than what we have now. I see most of the government active, not all, there, you know, there's legitimate jobs for government, you know, protecting the country and then law enforcement and the courts and the like. But much of what the government now does actually makes our economy smaller. It makes poor people poorer. And we would all be better off if they would stop doing it. So anyway, that's a side that you don't hear a lot focused on. It's something that I talk about a lot.
So basically, I think I know I'm going to get more from you, but I'm trying to throw it back in your direction. What I hear is focus more on the core functions of government and do less with some of the non-essential, the social program, the departments that may or not directly contribute to what government is all about.
Well, sure, and the fact that it's making us poor. If you want a quick example. You know, the Department of Agriculture, which is, you know, absurd, we don't need one. The Department of Agriculture pays farmers not to grow crops. You know, I'm sure you know that.
Yes, sir.
So money is taken from people's income to transfer to farmers to grow less food. And so the intended result of that is that food is more expensive. So people pay the taxes in order to pay more at the supermarket where they buy the food, because the government's reduction of the supply of food drives up the food. And then the third thing that happens is that poor people can't afford food because the government has a policy to drive up the price of food. And so we now take more taxes from people's paychecks to pay for the food stamps, so the people who can't afford the food because the first money that was taken from people's paychecks drove up the price of food.
Well, in that, because if the farmers are not getting their input costs back, if they're not making back the money that they paid for the fertilizer and for the seed and for the combine and for all of the things that it takes to grow the crop, then the next year they won't grow the crop.
Well, yes, but that's absurd. It's an absurd scenario. I mean, first of all, you could say the same thing about any business at all. You know, if my hot dog stand doesn't make enough money to pay for the hot dogs in the stand, then I guess I'll go out of business. But the fact is that 99% of all businesses, you know, do this, live with it, and plan according to it and do fine. There's no reason why I don't think
Sir, I'm losing the cell phone connection. We're not getting much of what you're saying.
Can you hear me?
I don't know if you're on the road or just moving around your building, but I'm losing about...
I haven't moved one inch.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I hear you fine.
Okay, I'll try to stay really close to the phone.
Okay.
So you could say this about any business. Obviously, a business that doesn't make enough money back to pay for its expenses is going to go out of business. But I think if there is any business in the world that I would absolutely guarantee to you will not disappear, it is the business of producing food. Because every single person and a guaranteed loyal customer. What happens is that if the government leaves it alone, is that all business efforts become more and more efficient over time because of the desire to increase profits and compete with competitors. So the natural course of events is that food becomes cheaper and cheaper, and people can afford more and more luxuries even after having paid for the food. That's if you allow the capitalist system to do what it's supposed to do, we get more food at less expense, and the government is pushing in the exact opposite direction and making everybody poorer. See, what a lot of times people think is that government is taking money from the rich and making the poor, you know, better off, but it's actually making everybody poorer, in particular the poor, who are more dependent on things like food than, you know, than the rich are, because the rich have more disposable income.
So by that token, if I am understanding you correctly, then it's a matter of removing a lot of the government controls that have been in place since the Depression, or some variation of those, to allow the economy to operate more freely and let the market set the price for commodities.
Well, and commodities and everything else, I mean, this is the kind of thing that I try to help people understand, is how free markets give us more of what we want, and government interference in the economy makes us poor. Removing the Roosevelt Depression-era agricultural programs would be a great start. We would have more food, prices would go down, we would have more money left over to spend on other things, and the economy would grow faster. What we've experienced since all of these New Deal programs is that our economy has grown slower and slower and slower. We're now being asked to accept 2% growth, you know, as the new normal under Obama. And we used to grow at 5% a year. And that makes a tremendous difference in people's welfare.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm sure this is just one example of some of the things you're going to be talking about Monday night.
Sure. Most of what's talked about in our arguments, you know, in our policy arguments, have an economic logic behind them, which, if you understand, you know, makes everything crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, the argument on inequality, that we're suffering from an inequality problem, which is completely illogical, because the solution is to concentrate power even more in government. Our economy actually benefits from inequality. That is to say, poor people benefit from having an unequal division in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Because individual rich people, economically speaking, are little islands of power who can make investment decisions that bring the economy forward. If I have a brilliant idea that's going to make everybody's life better, I have some new software, a cure for a disease, I have some great new mousetrap that's going to make the world better, but I need $1 million to get it off the ground, what do? I look for a rich guy. That's how an economy works. And if the first rich guy I go to, he's not convinced, I find another rich guy. And all I have to do is find one who is convinced that I've got a great idea and that will help me launch it and move it forward. And that's where economy moves forward. If you have an equal economy, which is the sort of thing that, you know, you had in the, theoretically in the Soviet Union, in Mao Zedong's China,
mm-hmm.
where in effect it means everybody's poor and the only power is in the government, then if the government doesn't buy into my idea, it's going nowhere. We actually benefit, all of us, tremendously from, you know, the millionaires and billionaires that Bernie Sanders likes to complain about, because they're there as independent islands of decision-making. If somebody else doesn't like my new idea, you know, one of them will, and that helps bring our economy forward. Not to mention, on the consumption side, the rich in all societies are kind of the beta testing of new ideas. I say the first cell phones were very, very expensive, and only rich people could afford them. But the fact that there were rich people to buy the very first cell phones, which were clunky and expensive and not very good, that brought the capital into the cell phone industry to allow for the development of cell phones, which now everybody has. The poorest, you know, poor people, children, teenagers, everyone has their own cell phone because of that initial, you know, ability to market them to rich people. So anyhow, so these kinds of economic consequences, I don't think are being talked about enough. People don't understand the logic of what an economy does for us.
And I think that's probably a very likely statement because economics is one of those optional courses that we can have in school, and probably a lot of people don't take it and need a better primer of what's going on. We will continue coming up with Lauren Slovak in just a moment on 1400 K1.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
And again, talking with Lauren Slovak, who will be the speaker for the Green Country Republican Women coming up at the Bartlesville Public Library on Monday. What is the time for your presentation on Monday? Do you know, Lauren?
I believe it's 11:30.
That's what's running in my brain, but I couldn't come up with a printed something, so I figured, well, you're the speaker. Let's ask you and make sure that at least we, as much as possible, can agree on that. The Bartlesville Public Library at 11:30 on Monday. And we've got about 4 minutes left. Bring me up to date a little bit more on some of the other things you're going to be talking about.
Well, I'll give you another example of one of the issues that's very current in the election is the idea, and you hear this certainly from the Democrats all the time, and this is the mistaken idea, which is there's determine the wages of their employees. Hillary Clinton says it's unfair, employers, you know, are discriminating against women by not paying them enough, or they're paying people too little, or whatever. The underlying assumption is that if I own a business, I get to decide arbitrarily what people's wages are. If I like you, I'm going to pay you a lot, but you I don't like, so I'm not going to pay you so much. And that is actually the entire underlying concept. And by the way, the next shoe to fall is that she thinks that if she's president, Hillary can herself determine what workers get paid. And the economic logic is that the market determines what people get paid. What an employer does is guess at what the right amount to pay a particular employee with a particular skill set is. And the closer they guess, the better their business will do. If employers pay their employees too little, they will lose the good ones and have inferior employees and will succumb to their competitor who will get the better employees. If they pay their employees too much, they will also go bankrupt because their business activity won't adjust, won't support the amount of money they're, as you mentioned before, in agriculture, won't compensate what they're paying their employees. So the businessman or businesswoman is not in a position to say, oh, this is what I want, and I'm just going to impose my will, which is what a lot of people think. Many, many Americans assume that this rich business owner just has the power to determine what he's going to pay people, and he really doesn't. He's making an economic guess, and the success or failure of his business will boil down to how close to the mark he guesses it. And to understand, a parallel to that, do you think that a business owner can determine the price of what he sells? I mean, on one level, he can. He could say, oh, this loaf of bread I baked, and the price is going to be $100. But I'm going to tell you that he's going to go out of business.
Particularly if there's somebody down the street selling that same loaf of bread for $50.
That's right. He wins by getting the prices just right, and wages are just another example. So the fact is, the value of your labor in the marketplace determines what you're going to get paid. And neither the business owner nor the president of the United States can change the value of your labor. The market determines the value of your labor. And so when the president says, well, I'm not going to allow anyone to work to get paid less than $15 an hour, what he or she would be doing, in effect, is the president can't change the value of your labor. All they can do is make your job illegal. They can say that because your labor is not worth $15 an hour, and there are plenty of people, the market value of their labor is not worth $15 an hour because they don't have special skills, because they don't have good job habits, etc. They have limited English skills, whatever it might be. This person's labor is only worth $10 an hour. If you make a law saying they have to get paid $15, they will not have a job anymore because the work they do, no employer, no matter how kind-hearted they might be, can pay $15 for $10 worth of labor. That is a recipe to go bankrupt, in guaranteed.
Certainly, it would change the price of every commodity, every product, every service that's out there. I'd love to spend more time with you. Unfortunately, I'm starting to run up against the clock. I did get a note that your presentation is 7 o'clock Monday night at the Bartlesville Public Library, not the 11:30 that you and I were thinking.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It's an item. All right. Well, I'm glad
I'm glad one of our listeners let us know. But again, 7 o'clock Monday night at the Bartlesville Public Library, and an opportunity to hear the Free Market Warrior. So if what you have heard interests you, or if you agree or disagree, well, come out and find out more either way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Lauren. I appreciate your time. And it is 7 o'clock Monday evening at the Bartlesville Public Library. An interesting topic, and we can all learn more about how the economic system works and how we can better choose our political leaders based on how economics works. Lauren, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it and look forward to hearing what you have to say Monday night.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's a Community Connection this morning, brought to you by First Baptist Church on AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1.
Hi, this is Rod McElvain, pastor of Grace Community Church. Many verses in Proverbs connect.